Hey everybody, this week's podcast is brought to you by Decibel Wines. We're still kind of working out the kinks of the sponsorship, but Decibel Wines is based out of New Zealand, but the owner and the kind of winemaker and all that good stuff is grew up in Philly and moved out to New Zealand to make these wines. They're a huge hit. Go to decibelwines.com. Plenty of ways you can buy it. We'll have more. We might even have a radio spot, banner, yada, yada, yada. But for now, just go to decibelwines.com. If you buy anything, put a little note saying you got sent to them by comedyfoodsports.com. And again, Philly-based guy who created this winery, and it's a pretty awesome operation, it seems like. So we're excited to check it out, try it. We're really happy to have a new sponsor on board. And for now, we have Jen Kirkman on the show, heliumcomedy.com, Philadelphia. She's here Valentine's weekend 2015. Enjoy the cheer.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
And welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast. We have a very special guest on the line.
Let me introduce literally my favorite comedian alive right now, Bill Burr. How are you, Bill?
Hey, what's going on?
The one and only Rich Eisen.
Sports is a lot safer than Christian Mingle.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. I'm a Jew.
Without further ado, the one and only best-selling author, popular radio show host, Jim Norton.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. What a rookie I am. You're listening things, I just interrupt.
You know, from The Man Show and Loveline, the godfather of podcasts himself, Adam Carolla.
Thanks for having me.
Very, very special guest. Used to be from Opie and Anthony, now from the Anthony Cumia Show. Anthony Cumia.
Look at that. What an intro. Jesus.
Smooth as silk.
Like, I thought I'd be on hold for the next segment while you talk to this wonderful person.
I was checking the specs on the end line for the rotary girder. I'm retarded.
We are back, episode 76. Sean Bradley nailed it. What's that?
Thought we were 77.
Oh, is it? Oh, come on. Don't ruin my freaking...
Yeah, I thought we were 77. I thought 76 was last time. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I'm looking it up now. I was really hoping I had a Sean Bradley pull there. I'm going to be pissed now. Can't believe I missed out on Sean Bradley. Yeah. We're back. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what number we're on. We're back. We are in 76 now. Bob Marley was 75, so we're good. Sean Bradley stands, people, stands. I'm sure there's a million linemen that have that number too, but... so we're back. We want to thank one of our new sponsors. We're kind of working out the kinks of all the details, but Decibel Wines, they're based out of New Zealand. A really cool guy. We're kind of working out all the details, but we'll have the info up on the site. They're based out of New Zealand. The guy's from Philadelphia. Really good wine. It's local here to this area. Not local. It's from New Zealand, but they sell a ton of it in the Northeast, and we're proud to have them as one of our new sponsors. He's going to be on the show later in the year. Really excited about that. So I'm going to post everything up, but it's decibelwines.com is an easy way to look it up. Tell them we sent you if you buy anything. That would be awesome. Again, the guy's from Philly. So, super cool guy, and he loves the podcast, most importantly. I mean, that's the key piece. So, we're back, episode 76. We have Jen Kirkman on this podcast. She is hilarious. She blocked us at one point, but we're not going to get into that. I don't think she totally knows why, and I don't think we totally know why. I'm going to guess our unnamed old producer might have had something to do with that, but when he was in control of the account, so... I was joking with her. I'm like, oh, please tell me we're still going. Oh, good. All right, cool. Thought we lost the recording for a second. Yeah, I was telling her that I was like, I'm so stiff with everything I do in social media now that I'm a manager that I was like, I can't imagine what I could have said that would have offended her. But then I was like, oh, yeah, Jay had it for like 4 months, 5 months. He was making Nazi reference and gay references, all kinds of good stuff. So we're back. We got a lot to talk about. Super Bowl, 40th SNL anniversary, Karl Malone, Bobby Christina Brown, the Browns, Amy Schumer, some shit about comic books and stuff like that that's been going on, I keep hearing about.
Watch your face.
Family Feud contestant.
There's a lot of good shit going on in comic books thanks to the North Korean hackers.
Yeah, love it. So yeah, John Stewart. We're gonna get into it all, but first we're gonna lead off with Jen Kirkman. She's awesome. I'm gonna make sure she gets her plugs in. She's at Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia. So go to helium.com and go to the Philadelphia link. Check her out. One show tonight, two shows tomorrow, two shows Saturday. There's also the Naughty Midnight Show on Valentine's Day night, the Naughty Valentine's Midnight Show or whatever it is. Mike Rainey, I think Butterly, a bunch of the local really funny comedians are going to do their dirtiest at midnight. So make sure you check that out as well. Again, one show tonight, the February 12th, 2015, for all the people that are out there in the random places that we're playing. Two shows on the 13th, 2015. Two shows on Saturday, and then the midnight show. I'm guessing she'll come on and do a quick guest spot, but either way, it's the Dirty Midnight Show at Valentine's Day show at Helium. Heliumcomedy.com. Next up is Jen Kirkman. You know her from Chelsea Lately. She did like 6 years on there. She reveals how much they got paid. You'll be laugh your ass off at how little it is. And then she's going to talk about how she got started with comedy, working on late night shows to, kind of being a female comic and working her way up, and how people just assume that, like, you're doing a comedy club, so things aren't going well. And I told her, Colin Quinn was here 2 weeks ago, but people are so clueless. People just assume everybody's selling out theaters. Like, hey, they have no clue. Like, oh, you're on TV, so clearly you're just selling out the Trocadero.
Because
it's kind of hard. Yeah, exactly. I was an idiot. I remember seeing, I told her the story. I saw Jim Gaffigan. This was like at least 10 years ago before he was doing theaters. And he was just doing like some garbage comedy club in Atlanta. I mean, it's not a bad comedy club, but it looks like a garbage comedy club. And I was just like, this dude did like those Rolling Rock commercials and the Vermont Lottery. And he's, he was on like that 70s show like twice. I was like, how is he doing in this garbage comedy club? And I was like, oh, he's been doing this for like 10 years, and he's going to do it for like another 5 before he hits the theater. Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll take a break. We're going to have the one and only Jen Kirkman. Check her out at Jen Kirkman on Twitter. She's verified, so she's fancy. Again, she was on Chelsea Lately forever, done the Tonight Show. Tons of great work. Really, really funny comedian. And the fact that it's a Valentine's Day show, it's a great date night show, because your girl will like it if you're a guy that's listening. Your guy's going to like it if you're a guy that's listening. Or a girl that's, I don't know. You know what I'm saying. Both sides of the party.
I got out of mine, by the way.
What's that?
I got out of my Valentine's Day this year.
Nice. How'd that happen?
Yeah, I negotiated the... if we're still in the engagement phase, technically, it's all the Valentine's you need. So
there you go.
Yeah.
You got Valentine's Day in your finger.
Yep, all I got to do is buy a card. I'm good.
Exactly. I got to figure out what I'm doing. We were supposed to be traveling at the time, but we're not technically traveling till the next day. So I got to figure out what I'm doing. All right, so enough Valentine's Day talk for right now. I mean, I know we're filling up the airways now. You can see us trending on Facebook and Twitter already. Anyway, we're going to take a break. Jen Kirkman's on the other side. Really excited to have her on. She was great. Really funny. Really cool. Just awesome, awesome guest. We've had a great run lately. Really good run of guests. Yeah, they're either super famous or super cool or both. So anyway, we'll come back on the other side. We'll run down all those topics. We'll probably make it a short one, maybe a 40-minute job this time around. And enjoy Jen on the other side. HeliumComedy.com. Click on the Philadelphia link. Two shows tonight on the 12th, two shows tomorrow on the 13th, one show tonight on the 12th, two shows tomorrow on the 13th, and then two shows on Saturday, and then the Midnight Dirty Show. So make sure you check all those out, and we will see you on the other side. Go Pats. To serenity, the truth is absolution. Sorrow to serenity, it's on your head. welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast. Very special guest on the line. I'm really excited to have her here. She's been on The Tonight Show, Chelsea Lately. She's got a best-selling book. Super funny, and I want to talk about one specific appearance she had on another podcast that cracked me up. But she's here all weekend at Helium Comedy Club. Jen Kirkman. How are you, Jen?
Well, thank you. Hi, how are you? God, I'm so great. I love my intro. I mean, I've really done it all.
Yeah, exactly.
No, wait, what's the bit on the front? What are you talking about?
Oh, this was like 2 years ago, and I don't know why. Okay. Like, it just stands out so much to me because I had both the guys in the podcast. It was when you were on the Crab Feast a couple years ago.
Oh, and God, I love them.
It was, like, literally one of the funniest podcasts I've ever listened to, so.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I get a lot of Crab Feast fans that come to my shows, and that podcast is great. I've been really good for, like, exposing me to people that didn't know me before, and those guys are just so funny. Like, any story I tell, they just take it and make it 10 times as funny with their weird comments, and it's great.
yeah, they're, like, a perfect combination. So cool. So I guess like the obvious first question, just because for people that don't know, how'd you kind of get started in stand up?
You're not going to guess me that boring question. If everyone goes to my press page, they give me the 4,000 interviews I did. Here's the answer. I just started going to open mics in Boston in 1997. So
nice.
That's how I got started in open mics. That's why I got started in comedy, is going to open mic. I just got my butt up and went on stage.
Yeah, it's literally all you have to do.
That's all you have to do. It's that simple. I feel like people want, not you, but if someone is getting into comedy, I think they want a different answer, because as simple as it is to just get up and do that, you know that that's not going to do anything for you right away.
Right.
It's going to take years and years and years. So people are like, yeah. What else? I'm like, oh, sadly, they still haven't found a shortcut.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the only, like, art form that you really can't kind of shortcut, I don't think.
Yeah, exactly. I was that guy, like, probably, like, 8 or 9 years ago. I was emailing, like, Bill Burr and Jim Gaffigan and people like that, and they would just literally respond with, just get on stage. Like, stop emailing me, get on stage. And finally,
well,
I did.
I was that person, too, and I mean, there was the internet when I started, but not that many. There was no, you know, podcast or emailing or asking someone on a tweet, so I had to ask people to their face, and you do it once, and you're so humiliated after that. It didn't make me want it. I went up to Anthony Clark when he was performing his headline. And he was headlining at the Comedy Connection in Boston. Mm. And I went up to him and I said kind of like, how do you get started? And he was saying the same thing. But I thought I wanted him to go, wait a minute, you're a comic? Oh, my God, why don't you just start, what, get on stage at the next show and open for me, and then I'll make you famous. I really, truly,
that
happened. And so when you're confronted with someone just staring at you like, all right, kid, get out of here. I really never ask anyone that again. I think with the internet, you can kind of set you, but someone can keep, well, Bill Burton, give me the answer I want, then maybe I'll ask someone else, and I'll ask someone else. And it's, there's nothing like saying it to someone's face and having them just look at you like, oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. There's no magic wand.
No.
Cool.
So I'd like to know, because I'm not exactly, you know... I still feel like I'm on the outside of it all. So if anyone does find a magic wand or shortcut, I am so willing to use it.
Well, for Bill, it was just getting heckled by like 30,000 people at Opie and Anthony show, right?
Okay.
So what was your, I feel like I've seen your comedy for a while now. Did you have a specific kind of big break on TV or anything like that put you onto like the national scene or?
No, I mean, I don't think it really happens that way. I mean, every TV I've done, from The Tonight Show to Conan to Ferguson and things like Craig Ferguson, I didn't do a comedy show in the town of Ferguson. And then, it's Premium Blend, Comedy Central, John Oliver, all those little things, I mean, look good on a resume or maybe give me some street cred or something, but it's just, I don't seriously have never had one person, except for the people that watch Conan, come up to me and say, I know you from blah, except for Chelsea Lately. But even that wasn't overnight. That was because I had 6 years of exposure on that show. And so that absolutely was the thing that gave me audiences that came to see me on the road. So it was that, but it was definitely constant exposure over 6 years, and it definitely took every single one of those years to collect enough people.
Yeah, I think that's an amazing little piece for people that don't know comedians, that, you know, so many things they do, whether it's for little to no pay or, you know, even if it's decent pay, it's so many little things where they're not going to literally live off of their one appearance on Chelsea Lately or something like that. You know, there's a
no,
constant.
I mean, that page, I don't know if I'm supposed to say, but it's not like Chelsea decided the price. It's just a union thing. When you're on table, take $400 every time you were on, which isn't, I mean, that's great. I remember at one point I was maybe able to live. So I'm not saying, oh, $400 isn't a lot of money, but people thought we were millionaires. And I'm like, no, Chelsea, the one with the name on the show is the millionaire. And then we're just the comics that come on. Like, yeah, I think people really, it's kind of cool that people still get excited about television, that people still think you're famous and rich because you're on TV. Even though we've been told, no one watches TV anymore and it's all on your computer or whatever. People still have a weird fascination with television, which is nice. It's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I was totally guilty of that early on when I first started getting into comedy. And then it was actually Jim Gaffigan, oddly enough, himself, when this was back before he was doing theaters and stuff like that. And I saw him at the Punchline in Atlanta. And I was like, this place is, you know, like just a little like log cabin type thing in the suburbs. I was like, and I felt like he had been, you know, he was like on commercials and all kinds of other stuff. And you kind of get that realistic look of, you know, it's a grind. You really have to keep at it. And, you know, there's not like one single thing outside of a handful of, you know, outliers that have randomly taken off because of YouTube or something like that. It's like a true grind, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And just the person knows it, like Jim Gaffigan, when he was at the Improv or where he Punchline knew it.
Mm.
But then when other people see it, they come up to you like, I thought you would have, you know, fans who have seen me on Chelsea Lately, when they come to see me at a club, sometimes they'll say, I thought you'd be at a bigger place. And they kind of feel bad for me, but I know that where I'm at is exactly what's normal. And
right.
So I'm like, oh, no, this is good. Like, it's fine. Like, not doing theaters, yeah, but not, no, oh, you'll get there. I'm like, I might, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Like, but, no, you know, they're disappointed. I'm not.
Yeah, like, Colin Quinn was here 2 weeks ago. Like, it's not a bad place. You know, it's not like.
That's true, too. I always feel better after I play a club if I see that someone like Jim Norton or Colin Quinn was there. I'm like, okay, I'm not a huge loser.
So let's talk about your book. How did that come about? And, you know, how was it just, I guess, how did it come about? That's the easiest question, easiest way to word it.
Well, yeah, I just finished my second book, writing, not reading one. And so that'll come out in 2016, which I'm really excited about.
Nice.
My first one came about, I always wanted to write a book. I had every agent I ever had, I would pitch my book idea to them. And they would say, oh, nobody's buying essays anymore. You know, only David Sedaris can publish books and essays. Those kind of things. And then I don't know what it was. I switched agencies and I just decided to write a book about one topic, which was that I don't have kids and everyone is freaking out about it. And sorry, I'm driving and someone's on my app. And so I have one. I'm hands-free. But anyway, it just was a perfect storm of things. Like, I had written a book before, like an entire book, and it didn't sell and all this stuff. So finally, it just was a perfect storm of wonderfulness where, and it really had, again, being on Chelsea Lately helped because she's a New York Times number one bestseller. So
yeah,
if I had written a book, and I wasn't on that show, the goal would be to get on that show. So I had this built-in publicity machine of being on the show all the time. And so I think I made with an attractive candidate that way. But this woman that works at Simon & Schuster, who also doesn't want kids and is sick of explaining it to people, was looking for a book like that. And she was a fan of Chelsea Lately and knew who I was. So it was kind of a slam dunk. But my agent pitched her this book idea. He didn't have any idea she knew me. And so she said, yeah, I'd like to do this book with Jen. So, yeah, it was perfect. And it's really this woman, Sarah, at Simon & Schuster, who's my editor, who she's really good. She took a chance on me. She's taken a chance on other comics. She really wants books that are written by, that you have to be earned in time anyway. It's not necessarily about, I mean, it's, you know what I mean.
Yeah, totally. I love books written by comedians or about comedians. They're really, I literally read, like, I read like hippie spiritual stuff, and I read books written by comedians. Those are my own, the only two types of books I read.
Oh, yeah, we're like similar in that way. Me too. That's pretty much, yeah, exactly. I like a nonfiction, hippie spiritual and comedian. Anything where someone struggled, I want to read that.
Right.
And you know, how they do what they do, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Cool. So I want to get these plugs in before I forget for your shows. So you are here the 12th, 13th, and 14th. Is it one show Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday, I'm guessing?
You got it. I don't remember the exact times. They're a little different every night, but it all should be on my website, or Meet Helium's website as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so two shows. It's a very exciting weekend of both Friday the 13th and Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, my God. I know. Everyone's concentrating on Valentine's Day, but no one's talking about how fun it will be to perform on Friday.
I know. Seriously. That's great. Well, we're really excited to have you here. Have you done Helium before, by the way?
Yeah, I've done it twice, but as a feature. So I haven't been back in 6 or 7 years. I was supposed to go last year, but I had to cancel because of some family stuff. So I am excited. And I've done right outside of Philly, I forget where. But, yeah, I haven't headlined Helium, that club. So I'm really excited. It's going to be great.
Oh, great. Cool. Yeah, it's going to be – I can already tell you it's going to be an amazing show. They're such a great crowd.
I know. Isn't it crazy? Like, Philly is a really good crowd. As much as it's a town of people who love to drink, like people in Boston, they're really respectful audience members. And,
yeah.
I had a really good time. And usually a feature isn't – the opening act isn't usually what people are there to see, and they take all the crap usually. But I remember even then, audiences were great there. And I remember, yeah, so it's one of Todd Glass's favorite clubs. Who am I to not love it as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's, I think Jim Norton said it best. He said they're usually drunk, they're usually slightly angry and mildly racist, so they're a great crowd to be in front of.
Exactly. Yeah, as long as the anger gets taken out on someone else after, not me during, that's great.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Cool. Thanks so much for calling in, or I called you, I guess, technically. But I'll put it up on the site. We'll probably have it up, I'm guessing, Wednesday by the time it's actually up. But we'll have your shows plugged and all that good stuff. Thanks for calling in. Good luck with your shows. I'm going to see if if I can get out, because we just literally canceled our plans long story, I'm traveling next week, and we were going to go on Valentine's night to where we're traveling to and now we're going on Sunday, so we actually have that night free, so maybe we'll be able to make it swing out. Yeah, either way, I'll try to make it Friday or Saturday. I think I've told this to comedians before when they call in to plug a Helium show, but I think this one's legit. I think we might be able to do it, so. Definitely, absolutely. Well, good luck this weekend, Jen. Thanks again for taking the call.
Thank you.
No problem. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye. I strain my eyes, hoping to see you again. This is my curse. Again, we want to thank Jen Kirkman. She was phenomenal, as expected. Make sure you check her out, heliumcomedy.com, Philadelphia, Philadelphia Club. That's what I'm trying to say. One show tonight, two shows tomorrow, two shows Saturday. It's Valentine's Day weekend of 2015, for those of you listening in odd times. Anyway, we're going to get into our topics here, and also check out the Dirty Show at Midnight. They wanted us to plug that one specifically. That's going to be a great show. It's like 12 best comedians in Philly, pretty much, and they're going to be extra raunchy at midnight on Valentine's Day night. So, what do we miss? Patriots are the greatest thing that's ever graced the face of the earth.
I like how now that the Patriots are the whole Deflategate thing is going on, the NFL is doing a great job of making sure that every team that's cheating is put out there right now so that the judgments are just not being passed on just the Patriots.
They're like, see, these guys over here.
Yeah. They're like, see, you know, everyone cheats. Everyone does.
Yeah.
Atlanta with the fake noise, because that clearly helped them. And the Browns are sending texts on the sideline. Of course, that helped them too.
Yeah.
So, you know, clearly, you know, all the top-notch teams are cheating just like the Patriots are.
Oh, it cracks me up. I don't even know what to say about it anymore. I'm just glad. I'm glad they beat Seattle. That's all. Hey, if it was anybody else, if it was the Packers, I 100% would have been rooting for the Packers. But
for me, it's anybody but the Patriots or the Eagles. Sorry, can't do it.
Can't forget about the Ravens too. Let's not forget.
Nah, Ravens are fine with it. It's just Flacco's a dick. If he went down and they put Elvis Gerback back at quarterback, Elvis Gerback
Troy Smith.
That's right.
Yeah, who's the guy they hitched their wagon to for a couple of years who was so bad? Oh, God, it starts with a B.
Kyle Bowler.
Yes, that's the one. I mean, you talk about awful.
He was the other Cal product that was supposed to be the next Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that was the key to Flacco's, another piece to making Flacco, quote-unquote, elite, which we all know he's not. But the piece was that he was so – everybody was so bad before him. Like, even McNair, so you know?
I mean, he was at the end of his career. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was like the bar was set so low for him that it was just like
– Rumor has it that's why the girl shot him, is because he was so terrible in Baltimore.
She shot him. I can't remember. I thought
she shot herself.
Yeah, just remember, it's just plain and simple. Don't have a side piece unless you're the dice man. Hey,
unless you're the dice man. You know, actually, unless you're still an active player, that's what it comes down to. When you lose that credibility and that stature, the girls don't care anymore. Like, they're just crazy at that point.
And when there's like apartments involved, like, I tell you guys, an apartment in Nashville? Come on, bud.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Real estate isn't expensive there. Just buy a house.
Isn't he 5 years out?
Yeah, it's probably more than that, actually.
Because I would think he'd be up for the whole thing.
Yeah, maybe it's next year. I would just, he's got to be up for it.
It has to be close. But he definitely should get, I think he should at least get second ballot.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's not even a debate. Like, I always kind of thought he was a little bit overrated almost to an extent, but I, like, as a career, it's a no questions asked type thing.
Yeah, as a career, I mean, he put together a hell of a career.
I did get annoyed when him and Manning shared an MVP. They got co-MVPs 1 year.
Yeah,
co-MVP. I didn't care about the co-MVPs. I was just pissed that, like, Priest Holmes was so fucking good that year, and he didn't get MVP, and he got Offensive Player of the Year and everything. I was like, how is it even possible like that he doesn't get? It's like it just has to be a quarterback.
He wasn't a name.
What's that?
He wasn't a name. You got a black quarterback and a white quarterback, and we can make the world a better place with that.
That's true. That is some kumbaya shit right there.
It's some kumbaya shit to the max.
So the 40th anniversary of SNL is this Saturday. I mean, who knows when the actual date is, but Rolling Stone put out their all-time list. And, like, some of it's, like, who cares? You know, whatever. It's opinions. But, like, you get towards the top and you got to kind of, like, nitpick a little. And I didn't care about, like, if you're going to put Belushi at first and Eddie Murphy second, that's fine, whatever. Eddie should be one, but that's, you know.
Yeah, he should be one,
At that point, it's one and two. What's up?
I watched him the other day, a couple weeks ago. They had, you know, they do the old SNL before they do the new one. Like, they do the old SNL, they do the news, they do a new one.
Yeah.
They had one on the first one he did the season after he left, and it was the one where he dresses up as a white dude, and then he comes back and he's in a scene with Martin Short, Billy Crystal, and I forget who else, but he was as Gumby in a Jewish restaurant, you know, for a sandwich to be named after him. It was a good, and then he did Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, dude. It was fucking. It's better than what's on now for them.
Oh, yeah,
crazy, because like he was so much better than all of them were. I mean, all of them were so much better than the guys now. They're all terrible now.
Yeah, yeah, no, he was no question the best, or top five, no question about it. I mean, I would argue he's the best, but I mean, either way, there's no question about it. What annoyed me is the people have this selective memory of, like, you know, everybody knows Eddie was great, and nobody argues top five or top three or whatever, and, you know, Belushi was Belushi. He was the original, you know, Farley-type guy. But for me, it's the Tina Fey they had, like, third. And it's like, I put her as top five best female comedic voices ever.
Best female, but I was easily number three for me, Phil Hartman.
Yeah, well, not, and my thing with Tina Fey is, my biggest argument against it is, like, she was just, like, the head writer for a while, and she did the news.
And she did the Weekend Review. She milked
the Sarah Palin thing for a while, but, like, other than that, like, not, I would put Kristen Wiig over from a female standpoint.
Yeah, I would, too.
And Gilda Radner, for that matter, too, would be higher.
Gilda Radner was another one. Yeah. I mean, you had so much more talent back then. I mean, yeah, Farley, you have Will Ferrell, even Sandler during his time.
Oh, yeah.
But what he was doing during that time was amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, to me, like, Wiig and Bill Hader from this generation, they're top.
Hader's funny as shit.
Yeah, they're right up there with the top, the best of them. But yeah, I don't like it when people get judged on their, like, success afterwards. Like, even, like, Bill Murray. Bill Murray's a great example where it's like, he was funny, but he was really short-lived. Chevy Chase is the same way. It was, like, really short-lived. Yep. You know, and they were great for those short periods, but, like, you kind of got to give longevity a little bit of, you know, a little bit of benefit of doubt. You're not going to put, like, Moore
Eddie Murphy, Billy Crystal. Billy Crystal was on for about two seasons. Mm. You have, I mean, Chris Rock. You had Adam Sandler, who was on for, probably, like, 6 years, right?
Yeah. He was, part of that generation.
And Will Ferrell was another one. Yeah. Sherry O'Terry, to me, was funnier than Tina Fey.
I always thought Sherry was way under, like, she wasn't underrated. She was. When she was on, she wasn't underrated, because she was, like, the sidekick to Will Ferrell everything he did. But once it was over, it was like, she was totally overlooked. Like, I thought she she was, like, a Hall of Famer type. I don't understand that at all. But anyway, it's Rolling Stone, so I don't have much faith in them. They think Bob Dylan's good.
The ones who made, like, iconic characters and kept those going. Like, even with Tim Meadows with the Ladies' Man, you know what I mean? Like, those are characters that you remember. And the caveman lawyer was one of the I'm just a gay man. I don't know your crazy ways.
Exactly. Hilarious. All right, cool. So, and it's Rolling Stone, and they think Bob Dylan's good, so that says a lot about them. Cool. So, oh yeah, I forgot to talk about Kanye. We don't really have to talk about that. He's a douche.
He's
I just love, like, and we'll kind of get off that whole topic, because I will spend 2 hours on that, but I just love that of all people, it was Beck that he said needed to respect artistry. Like, he is, like, the definition. I don't even like him that much, but he is such an artist. It's, like, comical.
The dude, he makes music for himself. You know what I mean? Like, he truly goes with what he feels is creative at the time. His lyrics are what fits him. He's not by any means a commercial success based on him conforming to what people want him to do.
Yeah, he used to play, like, Adam Carolla was saying at they did a K-Rock show, like, in 94. This is when he was, like, nobody. He was, like, an opening act. And he was, like, he literally went out there with, like, a Casio keyboard by himself. Like, that was it.
But that's him, though. Like, win, lose, or draw, the dude's going to do what he's going to do.
And Beyonce had literally 86 musicians play on her record.
Yeah, she's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, and I was talking about something the other day. She's talented to the extent that she knows her limit.
Yeah.
She plays with them.
She can dance and she can sing. And she's hot.
And she's not even that great of a singer. She may be a 4-octave range, and she dances well, and that's, I mean, any kid who's grown up doing dance, any girl who's grown up doing dance is going to have, you know, one third of that talent just from years and years of doing it. So, she's as good as any other produced and packaged stage act that's an entertainer. She's not an artist. She's just like what Quincy Jones was saying about Kanye West. When someone compared him to Kanye West, he was like, I write for symphonies. He's like, I've written for 52-piece orchestra. This guy is a rapper, like, right?
I got best. I got hot daughters. I mean, come on, let's get it straight.
My daughter's hot. This guy is just banging Kim Kardashian.
There's a funny clip of it. Was like, I don't know what it was, a really short clip. I don't even know why it existed, but it was just recently. It was Dana Carvey doing an impression of John Lennon talking from heaven to Paul McCartney about Kanye, and like Bill Hader was next to him, and Bill Hader like literally did a spit take when he did when Dana Carvey's like, "Hey, what's this guy's name? Kanye? What's he do? Does he play an instrument? No, he does a thing called auto tune." It's funny. I don't want to butcher the freaking accents, but it's really funny.
By the way, did you see the whole Bruce Jenner situation? With a car accident?
Yeah. The whole thing is
they
like...
had they had a meme put up that I saw yesterday. It says, Bruce Jenner decided he wants to become a woman for less than 10 minutes, and they show the accident. They're like, this is the result. It's terrible.
I know. It's like, it was such an easy joke. Like, as soon as he's a woman, that's what happens. It was like, it was just like, what was the one, the really obvious joke that everybody was doing? Oh God! It was like a Brian Williams joke, but it was went along with another news story. I wish I could remember.
I saw the one they had of him, where he was. They put his face on Suge Knight, and it was like, "So me and Tupac were on the strip." He's in the car.
That's awesome!
Like, damn, that's terrible.
Oh, that's great. Oh, there's so many good memes out there. Carmelo wants to fight Kobe. That's, I don't know if you. Did you read the article? I can read his.
Yeah. I didn't read the whole article, but I saw the whole, the reason why it's for him hitting on his wife. I like Karl Malone, man. I've always liked Karl Malone.
No, I'm the Jazz of my team, man. I can't.
Right.
I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of him because he can be douchey at times. But
he's an asshole.
Yeah.
He's a complete asshole, but he knows what he is. Like, Karl Malone never tried to play up to be like the nicest guy in the NBA. Dude's just an asshole.
Hey, Cowboy, what are you hunting for? She said it twice. I said, I'm hunting for little Mexican girls. And he's like, I'm listed. I'm old school. I said, back in the day, you had beef. You didn't get guns and knives, huh? You said, hey, got a problem? We just go back with no cameras, no nothing. Just knuckle up. It's like, wait, did Carmelo become black all of a sudden? Did I miss that?
He did. It's what he does. Carmelo is the blackest country dude you'll ever meet.
After he freaking stops playing basketball, he decides to become black. That's hilarious.
Yes. Carl Malone gonna kick you in the face. Yeah, I'm tired of Kobe trying to tell you stuff, man. Like, come on, dude. You went to Lower Merion High School. You grew up in Italy. There is not a fight you were in ever that was a tough fight. No matter what. I don't care who you fought or what you fought for. You're not fighting anybody who's Carl Malone's size, or even Dwight Howard. He was gonna knock him the fuck out.
I know, that was hilarious. Yeah. The what was the other one? This was back a couple years ago. It was like Barbosa or one of those guys. And he was like, oh, you want to go in the octagon? We'll go in the octagon. It was like, it's like, you understand most of these guys are from the street? Like, you're not, but most of the guys are from the street.
Yeah, you're definitely not. You've never played street ball in your life.
Yeah, exactly. So did you see the Browns are doing that, doing some shady...
They're running Mariota with a coach, a private coach.
But he's not officially hired by the team yet, so he can do that.
Yeah, but he's going to be their quarterback coach for the team.
That's so...
Here's the thing, though. They would have to trade up to get Mariota, number one.
They don't have to trade that high, though. They got the 10, right? Or the 11 or something like that?
They're like the 11, though. But
If he doesn't go to Tennessee, he's dropping to at least 6.
Yeah, if he doesn't go to Tennessee, he's dropping to...
They have two top 20 picks, the Browns, so they could just package those together.
Okay, package them up.
That's, I mean, they won't. I don't think they will because it's just that's another, like, well, your team sucks. You just got to throw another quarterback in there and hope for the best.
Yeah. I mean, if the Raiders finally got smart, they would take that deal and give them the 4 because the Raiders really. They need bodies more than they need anyone else.
Yeah, I don't like... I know they're going to... If they stay, they're going to take Cooper, and I'm just not sold on that guy, man. I know he's good.
I mean, I'm sold on him. He has the same body type as Julio Jones, and he has the same kind of skill set. But the problem is, the problem that I have with drafting players that come from programs like that are you don't know how they're going to react to losing.
Yeah, because they haven't
lost in years.
Yeah.
Like, Khalil Mack played this whole season and beasted it because he came from Buffalo.
They're barely Division One.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but that's, I mean, he's got a chip on his shoulder still. It's the same reason why, Patrick Willis played so tough.
Yeah.
From Ole Miss. Those are the kind of players you want.
Yeah, Sherman. Yeah, Sherman was
from a bad team.
Yeah, Sherman was picked in like the fifth round as a wide receiver and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I totally get that. Yeah.
You want a guy who has something to prove, like to himself and to the league.
Like but Brady.
Whatever.
The Brady 6.
I hate the shit out of him, but after seeing that Brady 6, I tell you, I'm still always gonna feel bad for that dude. Like it is what it is. But yeah, I mean that's what you they have. They have to have something to drive them past the money. You know what I mean?
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah. Russell Wilson's another great example of that. I mean, these guys have just been. No, I totally agree with that.
I mean, you put a guy who was on a team from college who, you know, had some losses here and there, had some success, but not necessarily a ton of it. He's going to have something to play for other than those dollars. And you get a guy like Cooper coming from there. I mean, even with Trent Richardson, you see him now. You know, the Colts are getting ready to get rid of him too. Because He's going to teams that he's not the feature. He's not the go-to guy. So for whatever reason, he's just tanking them. But
yeah,
he's moving off a name.
Yeah, exactly. The only reason I'm like okay with Cooper, I mean the talent's there. There's no question about that.
Yeah,
the only reason I'm okay with him is I feel like wide receivers are just most of the time they're just good. They're either good or they're not.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like Justin Blackman's a great example. I mean, yes, he's a hot mess off the field and he's got a drinking problem or whatever, but like you know the talent's there, you know he's not gonna stop being 6'5" with great hands.
Yeah.
But like with the running back, those picks scare me. That's why I don't wanna see the Raiders ever pick somebody high for a running back because you just
not anymore now. Those are out of question anymore, like because the defenses are so fast, running backs are a dime a dozen now.
So the Eagles are gonna probably let McCoy go. I mean, that's how much they're a dime a dozen. He was the best running back in the league a year ago. Now they're going to let him go. Yeah. Peterson and Lynch are like
the best running backs in the league from a year ago will probably be free agents because Minnesota will probably get rid of Peterson too because they don't want the headache. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and then nobody wants to pay the running backs what they want to pay. Like even Lynch will probably be on a different team too unless they work something out with him because it's like.
Well, Lynch is a whole nother. He's a different animal. I compare him and Le'Veon Bell are the two that I would say are the kind of running backs that you want to keep because they do have a certain running set that you can't stop those kind of guys. You know what I mean? Like, but LeSean McCoy, they proved that they bottled him up all season this year. So he's not that, or even DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray is another one. You can't stop him. Once he gets the ball, he gets rolling. It's just there's just certain backs that you can't stop, and they're. Now it's the power backs. It used to be, the finesse back or whatever else. And backs like, I mean, Emmitt Smith made his money off of having big uglies in front of him.
He was pre-free agency. That's what my thing is with him.
Yeah.
I hate it. I was actually pissed when he broke the record only because...
So was I.
Like, I don't really care that he did because he had the best line ever and you could just argue that that's a nod to the line. But, like, what annoyed me was that it put him at that, like, elite level.
But then you have Barry Sanders who retired 4 years earlier who could have broke that shit 2 years before that.
Yeah, who was second for a long time.
You can't name two other than Lomas, I can't name another Detroit lineman who was around during his time.
Oh yeah. I couldn't even name another. Scott Mitchell is the only other player on that team I could name.
Herman Moore and Johnny Mitchell.
They don't really count.
The receivers, I mean, think about that as far as that offense. You got Scott Mitchell, Herman Moore, and Johnny Mitchell, and Lomas Brown, whatever his name was, playing tackle. And then that's it. And then you got
Barry Sanders lost more yards than anybody ever, too, because he was having to cut back all the time.
Yeah, but then, I mean, you could – the Cowboys is a veritable who's who in the Hall of Fame of that whole 92 through whatever. I mean, they're – everyone, Aikman, Stepnoski,
Larry Allen.
I mean, they had everybody on it. Yeah, and then you got...
And then Williams, if he stayed healthy, was probably the best ever at left tackle, you know? They're insane.
And then you got Novacek. Fullback, Novacek, you got Irvin at receiver. I mean, come on. you can't focus on the running back when everybody else is great too.
Yeah, but the Vikings got Herschel Walker, so they clearly won that part of the trade.
They clearly won that.
All right, so some shit happened with Spider-Man?
Yeah, Spider-Man. No, you know what's funny? It's a direct, and they're playing this down, and I don't know why they are, but it's a direct reflection of what happened with the whole North Korea thing, because that Amy Pascal chick, she was saying they might have to put Spider-Man with the Marvel Universe at some point in time as far as giving him over for the movies, because the movies just weren't making the money that they thought they were for Spider-Man. So now she's stepping down. As soon as she stepped down, they're basically handing over all of the Spider-Man universe to Marvel, who is with Disney. And basically, they're going to have to just sit back and collect maybe 10-15% of whatever the revenue is generated from Spider-Man in these movies now, which is crazy because they had the entire, they had all Spider-Man's characters,
yeah.
They had all his villains and everything else, and now all those are going to Marvel because they weren't able to use the property well enough.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly.
And it all came from her running her mouth on these emails in North Korea, putting that shit out, and now she's gone. So, yeah. It's crazy. I mean, they're going to make a ton of money off that.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about, so sounds good.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's a whole thing that the storyline, the plot line goes to Captain America gets shot, which they'll redo that.
Yeah.
Spider-Man comes out and, you know, shows who he is. So then Iron Man decides that he wants to have a registration for any superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
So they call it the Civil War because some heroes are against it, some heroes are for it.
Nah.
But that's going to be a whole other 8-movie series that they can put a shit ton of money into that they're going to make a shit ton of money off of. So.
It helps when it's all make-believe, right? You know?
Exactly.
There's no sequel to Lincoln.
Yep. Well, except for Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that goes without saying, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
That actually came out first, too. That's the best part about it.
That's the prequel.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it makes so much more sense now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's why he wore the stovepipe hat.
And then apparently Ryan Reynolds showed a preview of the Deadpool.
And that's another funny thing, too, is the fanboys got that done because that movie wasn't supposed to be made. And there was a small clip online of what it would have looked like.
Yeah.
And so now all of a sudden, the fanboys are clamoring for it. So Ryan Reynolds got his career saved because he bombed the shit out of that Green Lantern.
I mean, you know, you can blame the, let's see, how would the term go? There's, I don't know what type of, you could blame the corked bat or you could blame Sammy Sosa, but I don't know what I'm trying to say. I don't totally blame him, I guess is what I'm saying.
DC has the shittiest superheroes. Like, none of their heroes have any real power. Like, if you gave me a ring with fucking green powers, I'd be pretty upset about that.
Like, yeah, exactly. It was like...
fact that you have basically a billionaire with mommy-daddy issues who throws bat shit at people.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. He's not a superhero. That's the explanation for that. He's just an extraordinary man.
Yeah, he's a vigilante.
My favorite always is Aquaman. I know nothing about these characters. Aquaman cracks me up because it's like, what happens when they go on to land? Can he do anything?
Yeah,
guys.
And they try to bring him into like being like tougher. They cut off one of his hands and gave him a trident or a hand. It was just terrible. DC should just sell all their properties to Marvel and let them write the stories.
Yeah, totally. Just make all that money.
Sit back and catch
it. So, did you see Amy Schumer's trailer for Trainwreck?
I did, man, and I wanted to like it because I want to see a female comic not be judged
by making vagina jokes every other word.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, her whole fucking trailer should have just been called hashtag like a girl because that's all it was. Everything was based around, like, this girl who can't have relationships, which no female exists like that, number one.
Yeah, yeah.
Number two, like...
Except her, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
She's actually like that in real life. But
I like Bill Hader.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's your typical, male lead for a rom-com. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to be the guy who a chick's going to swoon over and figure it out.
Yeah, yeah, they're definitely banking on just the power the power of Judd Apatow and Amy Schumer's got a huge following, obviously, now. So
and the cameos too. The
yeah, LeBron, dude, LeBron's not even John like Cena. LeBron's not even a cameo. Like, he's a full blown character. Yeah, like that scene where he walks in and talks about Downton Abbey. I was cracking up when I saw that.
Yeah,
man, if I go to practice and they're all talking about it, I'm gonna be pissed. Yeah, my only hope for it is that the because I think the writing's there. I think the story itself is boring, but I think the writing will be there.
Yeah, that would be the only thing to save is that there's some jokes in it. Like, you know, I watched that movie the other day, Let's Be Cops. And
you know that made more money. That made more money than any comedy last year by a long shot.
Let's Be Cops.
They made like $150 million or something. I'm not even joking.
That was a terrible movie.
Yeah.
It had a decent premise to it, and I like the dude Jake, whatever his name is, and Damon Wayne's kid.
Yeah,
and they had Rob Riggle in there, who I love the shit out of Rob Riggle.
Yeah.
You kept waiting for something to be funny.
Yeah,
it was just like it never came. It was just by like the 45th minute, you're like, all right, well, I'm already committed to this, so I might as well fucking just stay for it.
Yeah. I know the story and the director. They're both like awful, but they basically tried to improv everything. But yeah, I'm not shocked by that. But it killed somehow. Like, not necessarily like number one type thing. It just was consistently making like 30 million.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it was like 150 million or something crazy like that.
Yeah, it's one of the movies. It's on. You'll watch it. You won't talk about it again. And you're not gonna watch it again. It was like that other movie, Neighbors, with Seth Rogen and Zac Efron.
Yeah, I haven't
seen that. It wasn't funny. It had some funny parts in it, but it wasn't funny.
Yeah. I was like, this is the end. I kind of felt that's the way that was, too. It was like, it was actually kind of a fun thing. It was a fun concept, but it was kind of like, all right, is that a comedy? Like, you guys get taken up to hell and all that stuff.
But. Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah.
Is this a religious overtone you have here?
Yeah. With, like, everybody and every character is pretty much Jewish in the movie, too. So.
Well, that's why I'm pretty much trying to find, I told you, I'm trying to be Craig Robinson for some Jewish guy.
Yeah, you got to do it, man. That's your end.
Speaking of which, I think I'm going to do a set for the ABFF. Festival thing that we keep seeing every year.
What is that?
The All Black Film Festival.
Oh, yeah. I got that email from Finesse Mitchell's people that one time. That's right.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do it this year and submit a stand-up.
Why the hell not, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious. So we'll wrap things up. We got three more things, and then we'll call it a Family Feud contestant answered gerbil when Steve Harvey, I'm guessing, in a ridiculous suit and big old teeth, said things.
Now, why you going to get a gerbil stuck up your butt? Yes. That's just crazy.
Let me tell you something my mama told me when I was a little boy. I'm calling bullshit. I think people are starting to do that stuff on purpose just for attention.
To go viral. I mean, you know you're on TV. And they're probably actually told to do it. Because they're probably told, like, hey, these are the questions coming up.
Yeah.
It's like the one episode. I don't know if you... So I can't remember the exact question, but something about like what you tell your wife or something like that. And there was like a Marine standing there, and this other guy, and they wouldn't answer the question. And it was like, that's bullshit. If this was truly a game show, you'd answer whatever the fuck you want.
That would be great if one of the top three were not just make a sandwich, but like spelled that way. Make a sandwich.
make a sandwich.
Ronda Rousey? Is that her name?
Rousey, yeah.
She did a SI swimsuit. Doesn't do anything for me. She looks good. Doesn't do anything for me.
No. It doesn't.
The fact that she could just destroy me in like literally 3 seconds just does nothing for me.
The thing is, like, you know, you admire an athlete's body. That's about it. There's nothing hot about it. But she's definitely in phenomenal shape. She definitely beat the hell out of 95% of the average male population. So
yeah.
I mean, it is what it is.
I would love to see her get wronged by a guy and just fucking just destroy him. That would be really funny.
At this point, Dana White, with all these PED suspension and everything else, he's pretty much gonna have to put her out as a fighter to do pretty soon. Because I mean, they're putting out too many of their quality fights. too often, and then they're burning out their stars.
Totally agree with that.
And either they go the way of boxing, where the stars realize they're the drawing power, and they start doing the individual shows, or the UFC has to slow down their production. You can't keep putting out a production every 2 months.
Yeah.
And expect your stars to recover and fight three times a year.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And Mayweather fights once a year, tops.
Yeah, very tops.
Yeah. I mean,
he retires once a year, too, I think.
Yeah. He retired or goes to jail.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's all semantics. You know, depends who you believe and all that stuff.
Made up tomato.
That's just what they tell you. All right, we'll round things out. Round and third here. John Stewart's retiring. I think he's irreplaceable. Not that he's the best ever or anything like that. I just don't think.
I think they shut the show down.
I think so, too.
I think you shut the show down, and then you might as well go with your Tosh.0 reruns and anything else. That's your moneymaker, because no one's going to watch. He replaced Kilbourne, who was replaceable. John Stewart has literally made a mark as an effective and loud voice in every political decision that has been made since he has been on that show.
And brilliant interviewer, like nails.
Yeah, brilliant interviewer. Yeah. He knows when to be self-deprecating. He knows when to be serious. He knows when to be funny. He knows when to be empathetic. He's you can't replace him.
And
he was told me that the stoner dude who's talking about the people in the White House. Shooting at
Wait, is there a guy in the bush? Red team go! Red team go!
Red team go! If you would have told me that he would be like a driving force in most political decisions, for at least 12 years, I would have laughed at you. Like the dude, literally. I mean, he cemented his place as. I mean, he's up there with your Dan Rathers and everything else.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They're saying that. They might as well swap him with Brian Williams, because one guy was telling real news and one guy was telling fake news. But it's the opposite. It's the actual opposite.
You know, it's funny though. I think it was who was it who had it on there? Johnny Goodtimes, who we interviewed a few years back.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He had a thing on his Facebook, and he got me. He had NBC announces John Stewart replaced Brian Williams. He clicked on it, and it was fucking Rick Astley.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was perfect. I was like, because I don't fall for that usually.
Yeah, you got Rick rolled.
Yeah, I got Rick rolled. I was like, what, really? I mean, it made sense, though. I mean, if anyone could replace Brian Williams right now, he could.
Oh, totally agree. Yeah, you know, what killed Comedy Central, and it was kind of one of those things where they're like, good for you guys, you moved on or whatever, but Colbert and Oliver are the only two guys that could have done it, and they're much better off now than they were.
They are. With Oliver on HBO, there's no way he's coming back to Comedy Central.
Yeah, and with Colbert, I mean, and, you know, Oliver's killing it now, and...
Yeah,
and he's only doing it once a week. I mean, come on. Like, how could you want...
And you know what's funny? You can't help but think that maybe Jon Stewart held off his announcement so that Oliver could get his spot to do his own thing instead of having to try to follow his footsteps.
Yeah. And then I watched that Larry Wilmore thing, the nightly news. It's not a bad show. It's just not...
It's not a bad show. It's just not... It's not the same thing. It's not the same.
Yeah, exactly. He's had great guests, though. He had... Talib Kweli and Bill Burr on his first episode, which is pretty cool.
Did he really?
Yeah, it was like in that the mayor of the old mayor of Newark, who's like a senator now, Booker, I think his name is.
Oh, Booker, yeah, Cory Booker.
And then I think the other one was like one of his writers. They kind of do like a roundtable thing. It's like solid, but it's just not...
Yeah, I watched it last night. He had Anthony Anderson from Blackish. He had the other chick who wrote for New York Times. He had the head writer for, or the producer for the Daily Show.
He was Rory Albanese. Yeah, he's a funny comedian.
It's solid. It's solid, but it's not it's not Colbert. It's definitely not Stewart.
Exactly. All right, cool. We'll wrap things up so we can post this up tonight. That's about it. Make sure you go check out the midnight show on Valentine's Day at Helium Comedy, and then make sure you check out Jen Kirkman. She's awesome. HeliumComedy.com. Go to the Philadelphia link. Both shows will be showing there Thursday night, one show, Friday night, two shows, Saturday night, two shows. Thanks for bearing with us. We're going to figure out this whole system, figure out where we're recording, all that good stuff. Also, be sure to check out decibelwines.com for one of our new sponsors. Again, we're working out the details, so just feel free to go check out that site for now. We'll be back in 2, maybe 3 weeks. I don't know. I got vacation and work thing going on, but we'll see what happens. Otherwise, we'll try to keep up with the site. If you guys, if anybody out there wants to work on our website for us for free, just feel free to reach out. I will give you access. You can do literally whatever you want to the site, and we are more than willing to have it. So anyway, feel free to email us, Patrick@comedyfoodsports.com, Shelton@comedyfoodsports.com, anytime you want. We really appreciate all the feedback. Numbers have been really well this year. I'm amazed considering how makeshift we've been. I'm pretty impressed. Anyway, we'll talk to you guys soon. For Shelton and myself, Patrick, we'll see you soon. You got any parting words?
No, none.
Nice.
Good day.